The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Okay, let's get the fantasy playoffs started. We have got some elite quarterbacks with pretty tough matchups. We have got an AFC showdown in Foxborough, and we have got an amazing step. First of all, we have our participants laughing already. What did I do that is making you laugh before?
You blew out our ears.
Holy cow, man. I know it's the fantasy playoffs, but what are you doing?
That's welcome to Fantasy Deaf Today.
Every show. I'm sorry.
No, you were exceptionally loud on that one.
I don't think I was. Just maybe my mic's a little louder than usual. All right. I'll have to
beware. That'll do it.
All right, guys. So,
Hey.
I have an amazing stat to give you today. Jamie actually brought it to the show's attention. Jamie, what is the amazing stat of the day?
Well, according to Boston Sports Info, the Patriots, with Julian Edelman and Tom Brady playing together, are 42-0 against AFC opponent in their careers. The span
That's
of
amazing.
10 years.
At home.
Amazing.
At home.
In the regular season.
In the regular season.
Right.
There's been some more qualifications.
Sorry.
And I have verified. I've confirmed their reports that I didn't believe. I mean, I apologize for not believing it. And I am glad that we are going to mush this on the podcast.
Do you think Chiefs win this week?
We just mushed it.
What do you think? Give me a pick.
I think the Chiefs win.
I think what would cinch it is, Adam, if you could say, of course the Chiefs aren't going to win. The Patriots always win at home against AFC teams in the regular season.
Or I could just say bonanza or something like that. I think the Patriots will probably win, I think.
But I think the Patriots win too.
Yeah, I don't, but hey, could certainly swing the other way. That's the first game we're going to preview. Spent a lot of time on that one. Those two teams, by the way, give up the fewest points to wide receivers and the fourth fewest points to wide receivers. That might surprise you with the Chiefs. Give me a player that you love this week and then a player that you don't love so much this week. Maybe you even hate that player this week. Let's start with someone we love this week.
I like the outlook for LeSean McCoy if there's no Damian Williams.
Love, Dave. Express the love. You said like.
Okay.
Love him.
I love LeSean McCoy this week if Damian Williams doesn't play. Is that better for you?
I didn't feel it.
Okay. Well, sorry. Just the track record of Andy Reid running backs going up to New England. Very, very good.
Yeah. It's. I hope he gets more than 13 touches. It really hasn't been a running back that's had a good game with 13 or fewer touches against the Patriots, but Duke Johnson had 14 touches last week and he torched them. So you never know.
But there's not been a Chiefs running back not named Damian Williams that has had more than 13 touches in a game.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
It doesn't feel like they trust LeSean McCoy.
I think they have to trust LeSean McCoy.
I think they think he's old and they're afraid he's going to break.
Well, then the alternative is an inexperienced rookie who might not know what he's doing. Or Spencer Ware. That's who you're going to trust.
It could be all three guys. I mean, that's what we've seen. Multiple guys.
I'm thinking LeSean McCoy gets more work than he ever has, or more work than he has this season. Not ever. That's a long time, but more than this season.
I don't like him this week.
Really?
I'm lukewarm.
Okay.
He's in my top 24.
Jamie, who do you like this week? Who do you love this week?
I'll stay with the same game. I like Brady. I think Tom Brady's going to have a big game this week against the Chiefs.
Okay.
Do you love him?
I do love him.
You love him?
I do.
Heath, who do you love?
I love Miles Sanders against the New York
Giants.
No,
this game. Same game.
Nope, not that. There's no one I love in that game. I love Miles Sanders. I don't expect that Jordan Howard's coming back. They finally let him loose a little bit last week. He'll do work in the passing game. He's going to get most of the work in the rushing game. He's going to be a top 10 running back this week.
Wow, that'd be great.
Okay, so do you feel confident enough to sit David Montgomery or Tariq Cohen for him? Just in case.
For Miles Sanders?
Yeah, because what if Jordan Howard comes back?
That's a good point.
True.
I think if Jordan Howard comes back, it's like a 50-50 shot. Who's better between Miles Sanders and Tariq Cohen or Miles Sanders and David Montgomery?
I'd play Montgomery for if you told me right now Jordan Howard's playing, I'd play Montgomery over Sanders.
Yes, I would too. Yeah. But it's not that like it's they'll be pretty close in the rankings still. Like maybe one of them's 25 and one of them's 28 or something. For me.
I'm probably a little bit more optimistic on Montgomery, but I'd play Montgomery over the Eagles running backs if you told me Howard was playing, but I'd play Sanders over Tariq Cohen.
Quick thought on tonight's game. I'm just so nervous that it's going to be low scoring, but there are some pretty key defensive injuries that could really help. Prince Amukamara is out for the Bears. And
That'll hurt.
Well, I don't think
well,
so.
It'll help Dallas.
It'll help Dallas. I know he was bad against last week, but you know, still a starting cornerback. Antoine Woods and Leighton Vander Esch and Jeff Heath, a defensive tackle, a linebacker, and a safety, all out for the Cowboys. Hopefully that helps the scoring a little bit. But you know, just in general, guys, like I know we previewed it yesterday, so just give me a quick version of this. Who do you feel comfortable with tonight?
I think you're starting all the main Cowboys guys. It's hard to get away from, you know, maybe Michael Gallup, but you know, that's gotta be probably the only one. You're starting Cooper, you're starting Zeke, you're starting Dak, most likely. You know, I had a buddy of mine ask me Baker or Cousins or Dak. Dak's third for me, but I mean, he's still a top 12 quarterback. I don't think most people are going to bench Dak Prescott. And for the Bears, I think it's, you know, Allen Robinson for sure. And then it just kind of comes down to how much you trust, you know, David Montgomery, Anthony Miller, same thing. You know, how much do you trust him? Given the recent level of play, he's at least a number three receiver, depending on how many guys you start.
Okay, cool. And who's a player you hate this week? Heath the hater.
I don't want to be negative or anything.
Really?
But I don't know if this guy's supposed to be in the rankings debate. I know we have a wide variance of opinion, but I kind of hate Drew Brees.
I moved him down this morning.
I am scared of that San Francisco defense that you just haven't been able to pass on them. Like running quarterbacks have had success. Mobile quarterbacks have had success. Drew Brees is not very mobile.
I think we're headed toward a low scoring game between those teams.
It feels like it. Yeah, I dropped him down too. I think he's still top 15. He's still top 15 for me. Like I'm not going to start. The one guy that I like better than him of the guys we've talked about on waivers is Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. You know, you can certainly make an argument for Darnold as well, maybe Tannehill, but that's kind of the range for me. I would put him ahead of Darnold and Tannehill, but he's behind Fitzpatrick for me.
Okay. Jamie, player you hate?
Not hate, but nervous about DJ Chark. You know, we've seen some up and down performances from him really all season. You know, he's had some huge games and some downers. Two of his last three have been downers. Hopefully Minshew coming back will help. But I do think you look at this Chargers secondary, they've been very good against opposing receivers really all season. And I don't know if Minshew is the Minshew we saw early in the season, or is it the Minshew we started to see before he got benched and lost his job when he was getting jumpy in the pocket and, you know, got really schemed out of looking like a good quarterback in that game against the Panthers. So Chark makes me a little bit nervous.
Would you consider him as a flex?
Yeah, I don't think most people are going to bench DJ Chark, and I get that. You know, he's got that. He's you know, we talk about these boomer bust receivers. You
he's
know,
one of them.
He is, but he's on the higher end because, you know, from what his body of work has been this year. Like, I don't put him in the same category as like a Brandon Cooks or a James Washington. You know, Washington's obviously playing very well right now, but you know, the type of guys where it's one play is going to set them apart. He's going to get more targets and better opportunities than those guys. I just don't love the setup for him like I typically do.
I've got him ranked lower than I have in the last month, but I'd still start him over Gallup and Miller.
I agreed. Yeah.
All right, let's give me my next question.
I'm going to start Miller over him in PPR for sure.
Cool.
And Washington's real close.
Dave, who's your haterade player?
I don't like what I've seen from Philip Lindsay over the last 4 weeks. And
four or three, because 4 games ago he had the big game against Cleveland. It was one run, but
he's just 8 PPR fantasy points or less in 4 of his past 6 non-PPR points in less or in 5 of those past 6. He's getting the work. It's not like he's sharing with Royce Freeman, but he's playing against Houston. Drew Lock's the quarterback. Houston's defense, I think, played really well last week. The numbers that James White got, a lot of it was toward the end of the game. I felt like it was kind of fluky, and I don't think the Broncos are going to adjust their offense the way that the Patriots adjust theirs. I just think they do what they do. And I think you can get away from him this week.
It'll be a good test for Lindsay. I still like him because of the work he's got and because of what the Texans defense has done recently. On the ground the last 3 weeks, they've given up 178, 155, and 139 yards their last three games. And last week, they gave up almost 100 yards through the air.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
don't think you can count on that for Lindsay.
Well,
his catches have been there. He hasn't been doing a lot with his catches. I was originally like he was when I first did the first version of Start Sit. He was the bustler. I took him out two reasons. One, Freeman showed up on the injury report, so I wonder if he gets even more work. I mean, Freeman's still been taking touches away from him. It's not like
just not as much as it was earlier.
Right, 100%. Sure. The last three games, he's been 16 or more touches. I think we said yesterday.
Yeah. And
then. What Pete said on the show yesterday about Locke dumping the ball off to him a little bit more. We have seen that, you know, you had the big game from James White, but you also had Mark Ingram had the 2-touchdown game against them through the air as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wonder if they're a little bit vulnerable in
they
that
are.
Regard.
They give up
they
the most,
are, but
they give
I
up
don't
the
know
most
if the
receiving
Broncos
yards.
Take advantage.
They give up the most receiving yards to running backs, and I think the second most catches to running backs. Drew Locke threw 28 passes. 7 of them went to running backs, but I think 4 went to Lindsay and 3 to Freeman, or maybe it was reversed. So it wasn't just Philip Lindsay.
Sure.
I just think with this offense, like they started the year with Flacco. And the whole time he was quarterback, they threw to running backs a lot. Brandon Allen came in and didn't do it. And then Drew Locke came in and did. So I think the offense involves a lot of dump offs to running backs. Brandon Allen was just taking off running instead.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. So those are some players we love and we hate. LeSean McCoy, Tom Brady, Miles Sanders, guys we really like this week. Philip Lindsay, DJ Chark, and who was the other? Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a little cold on them this week. Our Apple Podcast review mailbag is on Saturday, but we read them on Friday. So get your questions in. It does take a little bit of time to show up on Apple Podcasts, so it's a good idea to get them in today. Please write us a nice review and leave your question, and we'll try to read them. My inbox, by the way, at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com is flooded. I've got over 100 emails that I'm not going to be able to get to all of them, but I will try to answer some of your start sit questions before the game starts tonight. Facebook giveaway this week, your unsung hero of fantasy playoffs in the past. And don't forget, if you don't hear your question answered on this show on the mailbag, or if we don't get back to you on Twitter or whatever, Ion Fantasy Football, our radio show, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's a great time to get your question heard on the air. It's on CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. to midnight on Saturday Eastern time, and it's also on Sirius Channel 206. Kind of an interesting week because there are some really interesting streaming quarterbacks that we've talked about. Not today, but on Tuesday and a little bit on Wednesday. Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Fitzpatrick, etc. But Lamar Jackson at Buffalo, Patrick Mahomes at New England, Deshaun Watson against Denver, Russell Wilson at the Rams, Drew Brees against the Niners, Dak Prescott against the Cowboys, against the Bears, at the Bears. They all have pretty tough matchups here. The Broncos haven't been so great lately, so maybe Watson doesn't. I don't know. But what do you think about just that in general? That 6 of the best quarterbacks in fantasy do not have favorable matchups this week. In fact, have unfavorable.
Five of the best quarterbacks in fantasy. Like Drew Brees has averaged 19 fantasy points per game this year.
Oh, okay.
The other
fine.
Guys
but
are all
but
in
listen,
the top 6.
But he's Drew Brees at home this week. Drew Brees at home is an elite
That's
quarterback.
True.
But fair, okay, fair enough. But 5-6 quarterbacks that would typically be started. You know, what do you make of that?
I mean, this is the age-old question. When you get to the playoffs, I mean, it's really every week. But you know, when you get to the playoffs, do you play the guys who got you here, or do you, you know, get cute and try and play some matchups? Really, the only one that I think you're getting away from of that group is Brees.
Yep.
You know, so you can argue Russell Wilson just based on how he's performed with his lack of attempts, and we've seen it work out well. We've seen it, just ruin your week. But there's no way you're benching Mahomes at this point or Watson. Watson proved last week what he can do in a tough matchup. You know, so it's just one of those things. I think you stick with the guys that got you here unless you feel overwhelmingly confident about a Fitzpatrick or a Darnold, or, you know, you're lucky enough to have maybe a Baker Mayfield or a Kirk Cousins or Carson Wentz on your bench.
Yeah, those three, I think, are, you know, probably easier than calls to start rather than like going to the Fitzpatrick Tannehill route. Cousins and Wentz. Like Wentz for you guys is top 4 quarterback. So if you're nervous about your quarterback, you know, you go with Wentz. Cousins is what? 6-8 and Heath has him 11th. And Mayfield, 7th for Jamie.
I don't like Mayfield.
12th and 24th. Wow.
Why?
Wow.
It's what has Baker Mayfield done this year? And the Bengals defense looked a little bit better last week. And I think this.
You want to know why they look better?
I think
better
they're
going to
run
week?
The ball because they're facing Sam Darnold.
Yeah. But they were playing against better than Baker a Mayfield depleted offensive line and a Jets offense that dropped 5 passes.
So,
including a touchdown.
Heath didn't hear the stat I gave yesterday, even though I told
this
him.
This might change my mind.
Right. So, Baker Mayfield has faced an impossible schedule this year. Every single
you
one
of
you
told me this stat yesterday.
He's faced
and I told
five,
you. I actually responded to
I know,
you.
But you didn't. But it wasn't to my satisfaction.
I know. I mean, he lit them up. 64 fantasy points against them in 2 matchups last year. He's gotten four games with 20 or more fantasy points. All of them have been at home. So, I mean, he plays well in this building.
And he's getting his left tackle back.
I just wonder if, and this, we're going to start to see this at this point in the season, when you know your coach is on the hot seat, and especially Baker starting to hear national media say Freddie might not be the right thing for him. Mm-hmm. If he's not happy with the situation, he's not going to throw a game, obviously. But you see the gas pedal gets lifted up a little bit.
Well, it could be like the Rodgers situation they said last year where Rodgers was just kind of calling his own plays and not listening to
exactly.
the coach's
presenter. Great, yes. Great example. Right. Perfect example of just discord in the building, discord in the room, upset in the locker room, and they take it out on the field. You know, and so that's my only concern is if he's a Freddie guy, he's going to have a great game. If he's not a Freddie guy, I don't know. Mm.
More of a Jason.
But I'm starting Baker. I love the setup for Baker. I think he's going to play for Freddie. I think he's going to light up the Bengals.
What if he plays for Monken? What if he plays for Odell and Landry? You know, I have a hard time believing he's going to.
He's got a great matchup.
So, it's not purposely suck. It's just
not buying into the plan.
The mindset's not the same. You're not motivated to be out there at the same level that you typically are, especially now that you know they got eliminated last week. You know, sure. So it's. You go through the motions a little bit. So I just think Baker's mentality, like what he said yesterday about when he was asked about his hand injury. Did you hear the quote? He said, Mama didn't raise no wuss.
Oh, what's such a ridiculous quote?
It
all
is.
All the bravado
but, you know,
from that guy. Just go out and play. But no, I think he will. I'm sorry.
I think he will. the Bengals had their, it's like the Falcons. You know, they had their 2-game stretch of we're playing for Quinn and everything was great. And then they reverted back to who they were. The Bengals got Andy Dalton last week and they had a great game and they played an inept Jets offense that had been playing a little bit over their heads probably the previous few weeks. And I think Baker's going to come out there at home against a team that he's beaten up before in a spot that he plays well and he'll play well.
All right, cool. So we got more games to preview. We got news and notes. We got to talk about Eli Manning. What? But first, ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you're going to get qualified candidates fast with ZipRecruiter. Now, Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter, and he said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. And he also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. I mean, these are really efficient tools if you're trying to get somebody hired. That's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. So with results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. That's our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay, news and notes. Let's fire through these guys. Eli Manning likely to start this week, and the Giants The Giants could be completely healthy in their receiving core with Golden Tate and Evan Engram back. It
done
could be
with
back.
The Eagles as streamers. Done with the Eagles as streamers, probably.
Well, they'll be a pick six.
I don't know that Eli Manning does not throw interceptions at the same rate as Daniel Jones. Does not fumble at the same rate
right
as Daniel
now?
Jones. Yes, he is never. No, I'm serious. Like,
look at how bad he is.
100%. Eli's interception rate over the last three seasons,
might be.
Probably the worst three seasons of his career, is 2.3%.
Yep.
Jones had a higher rate this year.
That's fine, but
Daniel
he's still
Jones
a turnover
has
prone.
Fumbled. Listen, has fumbled more times this season in 10 games than Eli ever has in a full season.
I think
Daniel
Eli's
Jones' sack rate this year is higher than Eli's sack rate has ever been.
I think Eli's going to take
Daniel
more sacks.
Daniel Jones is a better quarterback for a defense to face than Eli Manning.
Ooh,
so you've got Eli in your top 10, 5?
That said nothing about Eli scoring fantasy points.
I know.
Preventing the other team from scoring fantasy points because he dumps the ball off to Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram and doesn't do anything with it.
You're 100% right. I wonder, though, if he comes out and like, F it. I got nothing to lose. I'm throwing the ball all over the place here. I don't care. Monday Night Football is the last time.
He doesn't want to get hit. I think he just comes out and just dinks and dunks and doesn't get hit, doesn't get sacked, doesn't throw picks, doesn't fumble. And it's
gonna be a fun game.
The Eagles. I'm kind of excited
for the game now.
The Giants. Yeah. This happens all the time. What is with you people?
Here we go.
No, everybody.
This happens all the time.
Yes, this happens all the time. The Giants are gonna win. People say this. I think the Giants are gonna win.
No, they suck.
They're going to get killed. They're going to get killed. They have two wins.
I think they might win.
They suck.
I don't think they're going to get killed.
Especially after this rant.
I don't think they're going to get killed. The Dolphins just beat the Eagles.
The Dolphins are going to beat the Giants in 2 weeks. Cam Newton will have foot surgery.
The Dolphins are going to beat the Giants in 2 weeks, too. But I think you look at this way. You said it. They're finally healthy. When is they ever, you know, this season, they haven't had everybody healthy.
They got their quarter QB back.
All right, please.
They got their tight end back.
I cannot talk about that team anymore. Cam Newton's going to have foot surgery. Baker Mayfield says he's going to play. He's going to play. Running back news. Dalvin Cook was listed as limited, but he insists he will play this week. If he's still limited on Thursday, what do we do with the Thursday night guys? Obviously not Zeke, compared to Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison.
I think, you know, you play it safe. Obviously, you don't want to get stuck with a zero for Dalvin if he's ruled inactive. That doesn't seem to be the case, but I have no, like, the way I feel this could go is that Cook could almost be the backup or emergency running back if they're concerned about his injury and they let Madison go out there and see how he does to start the game. That's just total gut feeling. But, I mean, if you have a situation of David Montgomery versus Dalvin Cook, you wait that out if you can.
Yeah, maybe go pick up, like, Patrick Laird's still available in 76% of leagues. Go pick him up, and just if Cook doesn't play, then you play Laird.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's a hell of a drop-off if that ends up happening.
Well, the drop-off
is Montgomery to Laird, not Cook.
I don't know if there's much drop-off from Montgomery to Laird in PPR.
Sure, in PPR, I guess that's closer.
Damian Williams missed practice, so we're not expecting Darryl. There's a chance Damian will play, and we'll have to see what happens there. Marlon Mack returned to practice. Do we think he's going to play at Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Would you start Montgomery or Mack?
Montgomery.
Yeah.
So you want to sit Mack?
I was listening to, I don't know if you guys talked to Dr. Chow about this on Monday, but I was just listening to him on a radio interview prior to the show, and he said most likely he's carrying the ball. I forget which hand it is, but he's carrying the ball in the other hand, probably the entire game. And for a guy that doesn't work in the passing game, he said you're probably not going to see him at all in that regard because he can't pass protect. So in a matchup against a team that specifically shuts down the run, it's hands off for me.
All right, James Conner was limited. He has a chance to play this week. Jordan Howard's still day-to-day, but we don't think he's going to play as of now. Bruce Arians said Ronald Jones is his starter, but he didn't commit to Jameis Winston in 2020. But
I just
right
want to say
it
real
Jones
quick on Jordan Howard, because anybody listening to this, if you have to make the decision for Thursday, this is their first practice. So just keep an eye on the Eagles' practice report.
Yeah, he'll be limited. He's been limited this whole time.
I would 100% agree with you, but again, you know, just – if you're factoring, because we had the conversation, Montgomery versus the Eagles guys, just take a look at the practice report for Howard. If he practices in full, then maybe you make a different arrangement or different, you know, lineup decision when it comes to Sanders versus Montgomery.
Would you start a Thursday night running back or Ronald Jones?
Thursday night running back.
I'd start a Tuesday night running back over Ronald Jones.
Kerryon Johnson returned to practice, and he actually is eligible to return in week 16, where he would face Denver. So that's Kerryon Johnson. Sean McVay said Todd Gurley getting more work lately is about McVay not being an idiot. So, you know, he wants to use Gurley as much as he can. And Josh Jacobs is playing through a fractured shoulder. He's still been pretty good. Wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton doesn't know if he'll play this season. So don't expect him this week at Tampa Bay. Juju Smith-Schuster still week to week. It seems unlikely to play this week. Julio Jones, though, and Calvin Ridley, they both were limited. We think Julio and Ridley will both play?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Golden Tate and Evan Ingram could be back this week. AJ Green is out. Taylor Gabriel is out. Adam Thielen missed practice. We will see on him. Austin Hooper expected to play this week. Gerald Everett missed practice. So Tyler
Higbee.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had to choose last night between Higbee and Gesicki, picking him up off waivers. I think I picked up Gesicki, but you know, I don't think Higbee's going to get added, so I could make a Sunday swap.
They're both good.
And Greg Olsen missed practice, so we're not expecting him.
Can one of you guys look up? I wonder what's Todd Gurley's cap hit if they cut him after the season.
I'm on it.
Okay, we'll find out.
I just wonder if, you know, just what you said about Gurley, can they just run him into the ground these next few weeks and then move on?
This is kind of what we thought would happen all along, was that they'd limit him, and then once they get to playoff run in December, they let him go.
I think it's still big.
It's an $8.4 million cap hit if they let him go in 2020. Yeah, in this day and age of the NFL, it's something. They actually save, the dead money is $25
million. Yeah, that's a
lot. And savings is negative $8.4 million. They got to keep him for 2020. I read it wrong. My bad.
Okay, the Saints hope to get Teron Armstead, their left tackle, back, but probably not going to get Andrews Pete back, their left guard. And defensively, the Jets secondary is super beat up, so they got the Dolphins. Gerald McCoy missed practice. The Panthers' run defense is going to be even worse. Xavier Rhodes said he's battling through some stuff. He's playing beat up, apparently, and it's showing. The Colts claim kicker Chase McLaughlin off waivers. He was on the 49ers. He actually did a pretty nice job, but they have Robbie Gould back, and McLaughlin might play this week. Vinatieri's on the injury report. Tennessee cornerback Adoree Jackson missed practice. Seattle defensive end Ezekiel Ansah has a stinger. Richard Sherman has a knee issue, and Miles Jack for the Jaguars likely out this week. Let's do some rankings disputes. Here we go. So today we got 7 AFC home games, plus I put Sunday Night Football, Seattle, and the Rams on this. Jared Goff, 14th for Dave and Jamie, 23rd for Heath. We'll go Jamie versus Heath here. Heath, you don't like Jared Goff this week.
I should have said this about Baker Mayfield too. It feels like to me there are 20 quarterbacks this week that I'm fine with starting, and I don't really want to take a chance on what's been an up and down and up and down season for Jared Goff. He did look better recently, but I don't have a lot of confidence in him.
I totally get that, and it's reason to say that given what he showed us prior to last week. But I think they got their confidence back a little bit as an offense. The receiving core is healthy again. I also think that there's going to be some points in this game. You know, I think you're going to see the Seattle offense show up and put some points on the Rams defense. And I think Goff at home is typically a good play. If they can protect him, that's the biggest thing with him, because he's such a rhythm quarterback. If they can protect him, then I think he's going to have a chance to put up not what he did last week. He's not going to have, you know,
400 yards.
Yeah. But he should have multiple touchdowns. And I think, you know, he's in that low end starting group. I'm with you. There's a lot of guys you can say Darnold better, Fitzpatrick better, Tannehill better. I totally get that. But I just think that Jared Goff is worth buying back into after what he played, how he played against the Cardinals. It's not going to be again the same level, but I think he's worth starting.
Okay, Gardner Minshew. Let's do Dave versus Heath here. Jamie's got Minshew 20th. Heath has him 10th. And Dave has him outside the top 24, facing the Chargers
at
home.
Minshew. That's the player you hate.
Yeah,
I guess that's the player I hate. And I'd be stunned if anybody started him in their fantasy playoffs.
I've got him starting in my fantasy playoffs. My first game.
Over who?
Yes. Kyler Murray.
All right, I get that you probably have trust issues with both of those guys, but I still think there's probably a little more upside for Kyler than there is for Minshew.
Gardner Minshew in America has been pretty fantastic. Basically 20 fantasy points per game. I think this Chargers team, second consecutive road game going across the
actually,
country.
Actually, their
fourth consecutive. Even like doubly bad. Twice as bad as second
bad.
Consecutive road game.
They're 13th consecutive.
13th consecutive. They've never had a home game. And
you forgot last year.
I like the offense for quarterback production because of John DeFilippo. I'm not sure he's good for winning games, but I think he's good for quarterback production. I like his weapons, and I think he's going to cut loose a little bit in this game. I'm perfectly like maybe Jared Goff has more upside on a weekly basis than Gardner Minshew does, but I feel much more confident in Gardner Minshew's floor because he's going to run just a little bit, and he's really almost every game in his last five over 300 total yards. He had some touchdown problems,
okay,
but over 300 total yards.
I got more faith in Mitchell Trubisky than I do in Gardner Minshew.
This isn't about
the matchup as much as it is about a quarterback who's probably just not going to try and make mistakes. This is a game I think they can win with Leonard Fournette.
Well,
I just don't see Gardner Minshew going off and having a big game.
The most interesting game script storyline to me is in this game because the Chargers see the fewest pass attempts in the NFL, but the Jaguars have thrown 41 or more passes in four straight games because they have been blown out by 17 or more points in four straight games. Also, mm-hmm. if you notice, since Melvin Ingram returned, the Chargers' run defense has actually gotten a lot better. Running backs are averaging just 3.43 yards per carry against the Chargers in their last four games. So, you know, teams typically don't throw the ball on the Chargers, which is why they've been so good against quarterbacks. But the Jaguars have been throwing a ton because they stink lately. I don't really know how that's going to go, but pass attempts could determine Gardner Minshew's fate this week.
And so because you don't have a good feel about how it's going to go, I think the full range of outcomes is out there for Gardner Minshew, but I still think it's more bloody likely that he ends up disappointing than thriving.
All right, two more rankings disputes here. Let's go with...
This you got Gus Bradley going back to Jacksonville. Forgot about that.
Let's go with PPR and Chris Carson. And we'll go Dave versus Heath again. And Dave, you have Chris Carson 12th in PPR, and Heath, you have him 21st. Heath, you get the first word. Chris Carson at the Rams.
Yeah, I worry about the fact that Carson only saw one. Like, part of the big boost for him this year has been that they've thrown the ball to the running backs more. They talked about wanting to do that. And then last week, that was where Penny was more involved. I think he had five targets to Carson's one target. There's a little bit of uncertainty about inside the 5 or 10 yard line. Will it be Chris Carson or will it be Penny? And I don't think Carson's going to pull himself out at the one to give Penny a touchdown again, but it might be that Penny's in the game when they get there and they just leave him in because they clearly trust him in that role. So I just think Rashad Penny has taken a chunk out of Chris Carson's floor and ceiling.
I think he's taken a chunk out of the ceiling for sure, but I still think he's absolutely worth starting. The last three times these teams have met, the lead back for Seattle has had a monster game. Two of those three times, the second back has also had a very good game for Seattle. And the Rams have looked great against the run against teams like Chicago and Arizona. They've stunk against run-first teams like the Ravens, the Niners, and even week five against Seattle. So I think Chris Carson's absolutely worth starting. And I think the Seattle, if they have their druthers, they're going to give both these guys a lot of run. And if only one guy's going to get the carries, maybe they fall behind a little bit. I think it's going to be Carson, not Penny.
And I've got Carson 21st, so I'm mostly still starting.
That's
right?
Where I had him last week, and look what happened. He ended up having a good game, and yeah, Penny ended up just getting the extra touchdown.
I think the for me with Carson, I think you're right. This isn't about the matchup. This isn't about, I think, the workload, because Carson will still, I think, get more touches. But I think the catches, if you're just going based on what happened last week, it's probably going to be Penny having more receptions than Carson. And it's a matter, I think, who fought. They're not scoring. What, they have three rushing touchdowns last week?
Right.
I don't think they're getting
that. They had three total.
Well, they're probably not running it 45 times either.
Right. And they had the ball for 40 minutes.
Carson could definitely have a very solid game, but if he doesn't score and it's Penny, then that's just, I think, where Carson loses a little bit. So he's still the better of the two running backs. And this is just one of those things where I think it's just who you have on your roster, who you feel more comfortable with. Like,
all
you're
right,
starting Carson over
one.
Miles Sanders, right?
In yeah. PPR.
Like, I would start Sanders over Carson in PPR. You would as well.
And Freeman.
And Freeman, too. Yeah. I made that decision in a big fantasy game last week, and it worked out because even though both were good, Sanders was better in PPR.
Okay, last one here. John Brown. Had to go with John Brown, right? I'll go Jamie versus Heath here, even though Dave is actually the lowest on John Brown. But Jamie has Brown 26th. He's facing Baltimore. 26th in non-PPR, 32nd in PPR. Heath has John Brown as his number one wide receiver. No, 10th in non-PPR, 11th in PPR. Jamie, you think John Brown is a borderline start this week?
I'm just worried about the targets. I mean, you know, we've seen the last 2 weeks, the targets have come down for him, and he's facing an amazing secondary in this matchup where I think Josh Allen's going to struggle. So I'm just concerned about it. And I say that we have him on our show today on CBS Sports HQ. He came on to talk to us. He actually said it's going to be a field goal game. So I don't know if that's high scoring comes down to a field goal or low scoring comes down to a field goal. I would lean toward low scoring based on how these two defenses operate. So I'm just a little bit concerned about Brown. He's been passed in terms of targets the last, whatever it is, certainly 2 weeks, but I think maybe over the last month in terms of targets from Cole Beasley. So I just worry about Josh Allen developing as a quarterback, spreading the ball around a little bit, not necessarily John Brown having a big game. I don't know if he's going to throw for a touchdown again. So he's become touchdown dependent in some tough matchups, and this is a tough matchup.
Yeah, I think this probably tells as much about my process as anything, because John Brown has had two games where the targets have been a major concern with just four. The two games before that, he had 25 targets in two games. And I expect this is a game where Baltimore is going to have a lead. Buffalo is going to struggle to run a little bit, and they're going to have to throw more passes than they normally do. So I expect Brown's targets to come back up. And when he's gotten targets, he's been very good.
All right. So Jimmy Smith's been back for 5 games. Also, Marcus Peters is there now. In those 5 games with Jimmy Smith, 4 wide receivers have had 80 or more yards. They were Sanu, Edelman, Hopkins, and Robert Woods. Robert Woods was junk. That was almost all on the final drive. Tyler Boyd, Emmanuel Sanders, 2 of the 3 Rams wide receivers, they were all terrible. So it hasn't been a good matchup, and it will be interesting to see what happens here as you guys have Josh Allen as a sit, and we will preview that game.
Tyler Boyd had 6 for 62. He wasn't terrible.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
12 PPR points is right around what John Brown gives you from week to week.
Yeah. He has. That was his 4 for quite a while.
Less than that, though.
4 at the ceiling. okay, so.
It is.
Real quick, guys, before we get into Kansas City, New England, start, sit, or flex at best, Devin Singletary against Baltimore.
I'll start him.
I will too. I mean, I don't know if it's so tough to run on Baltimore like what we saw last week.
Yeah.
You know, their run defense has gotten a little leaky lately.
I mean, the 49ers are one of the best run offenses in the NFL, though.
But I bet the Bills think of themselves as a
team
that
can
do that.
Okay.
They're going to try.
I think they're going to try.
Marquise Brown in that game.
Sit.
Okay. And who's next on this list? There we go. Well, because we talked about John Brown. We talked about DJ Chark. Mike Williams at Jacksonville.
Flex.
I'm sitting him. I mean, we've all been ranked the same, so I guess we should say the same thing. But I think I'm sitting.
I'm sitting him too.
I'd really like to start him. No, we don't have. We had the wrong guy ranked up on the screen, so I said something that wasn't true. Jamie definitely likes Mike Williams more than I do, but I'm sitting him.
How about Odell Beckham at Cincinnati, home against Cincinnati?
Must start.
I got him as a top 24 receiver. I don't know how high you've got him this week.
You see it right in front of you?
Oh, yeah.
FanDuel.
I'm the low guy on
start
Odell.
Him.
But we like him as a number 2.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Kareem Hunt against Cincinnati.
Start. I like him too. Start.
Start him.
Joe Mixon.
Start him.
You're probably starting him.
Yeah.
John Ross.
No.
Stash.
Okay. The game.
Week 16 against the Dolphins. John Ross is going to win some people championships.
No, A.J. Green will. A.J. Green.
It's going to be Eli Manning and John Ross.
How funny would it be if A.J. Green plays week?
Right.
I wish he plays week 17.
Wait, hold on. A.J. Green plays week 16. It's his first game of the season. He's facing the Dolphins. Where do you rank A.J. Green?
1. That's his contract game.
Okay, here we go. Kansas City at New England. So, stat of the game, Patriots give up the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. The Chiefs give up the 4th fewest points to wide receivers. Edelman is going to be an easy start. Do you have any hesitation in starting Tyreek Hill this week?
No.
No. Way too much upside.
Okay.
No. I mean, maybe if I had Devontae Parker and DJ Moore and Tyreek Hill, I might sit Tyreek Hill.
He was pretty bad against them last time out. That was in the playoffs. He had like 40 yards. Of course, he was amazing.
But he was really good against them in the first game they played, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, so if you look at New England and you look at all the elite wide receivers, it's about midway through 2018, they just became amazing. Devontae Adams, 40 yards. Thielen, 28 yards. Diggs, 49 yards. Antonio Brown, 49. Juju, 40 yards. Keenan Allen, 2 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill, 42 yards. Now, a lot of those guys scored, so I will say that. But even this year, they've just been even better. So,
holy cow, he had 7 for 142 and 3 touchdowns at Foxborough last year.
That was the last time an elite wide receiver had like a really big game, although I think Brandon Cooks did in the Super Bowl as well. But yeah, since that game, elite wide receivers have really struggled in terms of yards, but a lot of them have scored. All right, so you'll start Tyreek Hill. I get it. It's hard to sit Tyreek Hill one big play and, you know. He makes it there. Let's actually begin with the Patriots. Dave, you're the low guy on Tom Brady. Jamie and Heath have him right around 13th. You have him 21st.
Yeah, just nervous about him being close to a top 12 fantasy quarterback when so many of his numbers came playing from behind last week.
Fair point. Heath, Jamie, care to respond?
He could be playing from behind again. The Chiefs score a lot of points often.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game's going to be a high scoring affair. I look at his numbers at home based on I'm not going to look at the Dallas game as a good indicator of him not playing well at home. I just think that they can't run. This is just a team that cannot run the ball with any level of success. And I think that, you know, this is, I don't buy into this Chiefs defense all of a sudden being magically fixed because they took on Phillip Rivers and Derek Carr in their building in the last 2 weeks. And all of a sudden their secondary is better. It's not a good defense. So I think Brady's going to come out and have success. And, last two games against them last year, he was over 300 yards in both.
I do think their pass rush is better, though. They've gotten healthy up front, and we know that the Patriots are going to go with a backup center. And I wonder if there's just going to be some mistakes made there. And that could hurt Brady a little bit. He'll have a little bit less time to throw. He'll get sacked a little bit. I think that's been part of the key for the Chiefs defense, playing great against bad quarterbacks. But there, before the last two games, there were a number of quarterbacks that had really good games against Kansas City.
Okay, and Frank Clark for the Chiefs is questionable with a shoulder injury, so he's somewhat...
Yeah, but I'm not even sure if he's their best pass rusher anymore.
He's still a pass rusher, but fair enough.
Yep.
Brady has faced four teams that ranked 20th or worse against quarterbacks, and he has scored 21 more or more points in all four of the matchups. The Chiefs are 21st against quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and usually worse on the road. So you mentioned, Jamie, that they can't run. Can they run this week against one of the worst run defenses in football?
They'll try.
Starter sit Michelle and James White.
White's a must start in PPR. I would sit Sony Michelle everywhere else.
Agreed.
Okay. No faith in Michelle. Rashad Penny or Sony Michelle?
Penny.
Okay.
Penny.
They give up the
little Penny.
They give up the most.
I'll go Michelle and non PPR. Penny and PPR.
5.1 yards.
Typically, what I do with we all have a different way we do our rankings. What I do is the first thing I do when I go to running backs, I put Christian McCaffrey at the top and I put Sony Michel at 30, and I just work for
it. Chiefs have really struggled, by the way, against the pass catching running backs lately. So, you know, it's a good setup for James White. The Patriots wide receivers. I did not realize that Mohamed Sanu played 22% of the snaps last week. I think maybe Jacoby Myers is just replacing him.
I don't know if that's the case. I noticed that as well. He was their primary punt returner, and then when they were, you know, going three wide receiver, four wide receivers, you know, just trying to, you know, find some semblance of a passing game, that's when he was on the field and he had the bad fourth quarter drop, which we all remember. He, I think, is still battling through that ankle injury, but this is where it's going to be. In terms of how Brady operates, Edelman's going to get his numbers. White's going to get his numbers. Who's going to be the third guy? Is it Myers after the seven targets last week? Is this a Dorsett over the top for a big play? Is this Sanu maybe getting healthy? It's one of those guys has to help him in some capacity. And so that's, I think, is where we'll see Brady's ceiling versus floor. So I think somebody's going to step up. I couldn't tell you who it's going to be, but I think one of those three guys will have a decent game. So if you're looking DFS, take a chance on one of those three guys if you want to. I would lean Myers just based on the targets last week.
But in seasonal, I mean, Edelman's the only one we're starting, right?
You can't trust those guys, right. Yeah.
Okie dokie. So sit Ben Watson, even though Chiefs stink against tight ends. Yes. Patrick Mahomes. Anything to really break down here? Fourth for Jamie, second for Dave, sixth for Heath. You start Mahomes.
I'd start Carson Wentz over him.
But the thing is, like, he really hasn't been great, you know, since the first three games of the season. I mentioned the stats. In his last seven games, 61% of his passes, a completion rate, 7.5 yards per attempt, on pace for 23 touchdowns in those seven games. He did leave one of them early, threw 50 touchdowns last year. So I don't know. Like, do you see enough in Patrick Mahomes? He scored 21 points against the Raiders last week. Do you see enough in him to really feel like he's a must start at New England?
It's the same thing what we talked about earlier in the show. It's, you know, you can make an easy argument for Wentz, Cousins, I'll still say Baker. You know, these guys that have good matchups that could have a higher ceiling, but you're still talking about the best quarterback in football. He may not be the MVP this year, but he's the best quarterback in football.
Yeah, I mean, he's having a bad stretch and he's averaging 7.5 yards per attempt, which is above league average.
Yeah, and we saw the Patriots. I don't know, Adam, if you saw the practice reports for Jason McCourty, if he's going to play.
He's questionable. We don't know yet.
So, you know, that was a scenario that the Texans clearly exposed and picked on. And so if you're looking at it, maybe Tyreek Hill doesn't have the same, 140 and three?
Right.
No, he doesn't have that. But Kelsey will get his numbers. I know Chung has been very good against tight ends.
I'm fine.
I'm not sitting Patrick Mahomes. Even if I have Carson Wentz, I'm probably not still sitting Mahomes, because I don't want to lose my fantasy playoff game because I sat what is the best quarterback in football.
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs running backs here. So...
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yes, this is really important, actually. So would you start a Chiefs running back over a struggling Aaron Jones against the Redskins?
No. I would not do that.
Would you start Devin Singletary or a Chiefs running back? Or, yeah, Chiefs running back.
Singletary.
Yeah, same, Devin Singletary.
Really? Okay. So who would you start a Chiefs running back over? Dave, you're the one who said you like LeSean McCoy.
Sonny Michel.
Rashad Penny. I'd start McCoy over Penny.
I would too. I would start him over Philip Lindsay. Start him over Montgomery. Start him over Geis. Kenyon Drake, a Bucks running back.
I'd start Drake and Lindsay and Montgomery over him.
I would too. This is going to come down to touchdowns because he just hasn't been getting the work. It's so, you look at it, there's been four games now where Damian Williams has either left or been hurt. And two guys in every game has found the end zone. You're facing a team in the Patriots that has allowed two touchdowns to running backs on the season. So if he scores, he's going to be fine. If he doesn't score, I don't think he's going to be very good just because they haven't given him the typical workload that you see from a Chiefs running back.
Okay. Dave, let me ask you this, though. If Damian Williams plays, he's the only guy that they've actually given like big work to. If Damian Williams plays, what would that mean for Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy?
It would hurt because now both of them would split.
And I would actually feel more comfortable about I'd start Damian Williams.
About starting Williams over McCoy?
Yeah.
But you know that they would both play. And I think it would totally change. I would start Williams ahead of McCoy if that were to happen. But I wouldn't feel as good about it as I do now about LeSean McCoy as a top 24 running back.
He'd have to have a full practice for me to want to start him, really.
Because and I think he would need it for the Chiefs to want to start him.
Is he in a Dalvin Cook situation where one shot to the ribs and Damian Williams can't play anymore? So he doesn't have the upside of Dalvin Cook.
You say that about Dalvin Cook, and we don't know if that's Dalvin Cook's.
Well, it happened twice in his most recent game. He got hit in the shoulder, and he couldn't play anymore.
Sure, but that was in the most recent game. It's not like something that's been laid out, and the Vikings are – well, obviously the Vikings aren't going to come out and say something like that, but
it just makes so much sense that
the Vikings sent him down.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, bottom line is this. I really feel like when the Chiefs have played the Patriots, the running backs have had huge numbers. We've seen that. At least 13 non-PPR points each of the five games Reed has coached against him, and that includes Charcandrick West getting 13 points. And sometimes, in four of those games, it's been 24 or more non-PPR fantasy points because the Patriots just kind of play in this bend but don't break type.
But how is that history compared to what they've done this year with their guys?
Well, what they've done this year and what they might have to do this week are two completely different things because they might not have enough running backs that they feel good about going with. How good can they possibly feel about Darwin Thompson when he's been an ornament on the bench all season long?
Sure, but I mean, there's enough of a sample size with McCoy, with Williams, and without Williams that they haven't given him that
workload. Sure, because they've had the other Williams there. They've had other running backs.
Well, they also had Thompson last week, too.
And they ran him when it was in garbage time.
Well, I mean, it could be the same thing this way if they're losing.
Okay, moving on. Tyreek Hill, start. Travis Kelce, sit. Start. Travis Kelce, start. Don't sit, Travis Kelce. And that's it. Patriots DST, start or sit?
Sit if you can. But don't drop them.
Right. It's about to get really good for them. So that's it. That's the Chiefs and the Patriots. The other games don't matter. Thanks for listening, everybody. Now, FanDuel matters quite a bit. In fact, you should join our FanDuel contest, FanDuel.com/league/FFT. Join for $5. Play against us every week, FanDuel.com/league/FFT. In fact, if you haven't signed up for FanDuel, now's a great time. FanDuel.com/FFT. FanDuel.com/FFT. Just take the word league out of there. Make a $20 deposit. Get $5 back in site credit every week for 4 weeks. So again, it's FanDuel.com/FFT. We love FanDuel. I'm on a hot streak on FanDuel, man. Except I did a horrible job in the Monday Night Football game. You know, you can play a one-game contest, and I had Tyler Lockett in there, DK Metcalf in there. It did not work out very well. But other than that, I've been doing really well. I'm having a lot of fun on FanDuel. I think the advice on this show is going to help you win some money on FanDuel. Lots of different types of contests you can play, 50-50s, tournaments. You can play high-stakes stuff. You can play where, you know, 50-50 is a lot easier to win. You just don't win as much money. I like contests like that a lot. So get on FanDuel right now and see what all the fun is about on FanDuel at FanDuel.com/FFT.
Just while we're wrapping up that game, Darrell Williams was placed on IR.
Yes. Okay, Seattle at the Rams. So the stat of the game, Russell Wilson has been so Russell Wilson-like against the Rams in his last three games. He scored 25, 32, and 37 fantasy points. He's thrown 21, 26, and 23 passes with three touchdown passes in all three games, three or more. Probably making Heath go, he can't keep this up after the game. So Russell Wilson, you know, let's be real here. It's five of his last six games where he's been, I think, 20 or fewer fantasy points. Something like that. What did he score this past
week? The only one he wasn't was against the Rams, right?
No, it was against the Bucks.
Oh.
In this recent stretch. yeah, he was very good against the Rams, but he scored, I think, 42 points against the Bucks, and for the other 5 of 6, he has not been very good. He scored 11 to 20 fantasy points. So, start or sit, Russell Wilson.
Start him.
Start him.
Yeah. Just hopefully this is one of his big games. I mean, it's just
what would a bad game from Wilson look like from all the Seahawks? It would mean a lot of running, which is what they want to do, but I don't know if that's something that they're
going
to be able to do for four quarters.
They win 21-13 and score 2 of their touchdowns on the ground.
Okay. How likely is it that happens? I think there's a chance, well, but I don't think it's a huge chance.
The last 5 weeks would make it look more likely than we are ranking it like, but I'm just going to hope that Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson again, because he's not been good for most of the last month they have for fantasy.
So Cousins, Mayfield, Wentz over Wilson?
I'm not starting any of them over Russell Wilson.
Well, I'll take Wentz.
Oh, Wentz.
Yeah, I thought Wentz.
Probably.
Okay. I mean, now that Eli Manning's playing, it's going to be such a shootout, Heath, that Wentz is going to have to throw.
I do think Eli Manning playing is better for Carson Wentz for sure.
I think it's worse for Carson Wentz because they won't score as many points.
Eli Manning is better than Daniel Jones currently.
You are... Jared Goff, we talked about. 14th for Dave and Jamie, 23rd for Heath. Todd Gurley. Like or love Todd Gurley this week?
Like.
Yeah, I probably need to move him up a little bit. I think I'm the low guy on him. The only thing that worries me is this trend so far this year. And I know they say they're not managing anything with Todd Gurley's knee, and everything's fine, and he's never had any problems. But he's had 19 or more carries in 4 games this season. In the game following that, he's either missed the game or had 11 or fewer touches in all the other games. So I hope that Todd Gurley is just fine, and Sean McVay's statement that he's going to stop being an idiot and give Todd Gurley the ball makes me want to project him for more touches.
I think the one game that I would throw out in that is the Ravens game, because I don't think that was by design, like to limit his touches. I think that just happened.
Right.
Yeah. Rams wide receivers. Okay, you can't trust Brandon Cooks, right?
No.
Who do you like better, Woods or Kupp?
Woods.
Kupp or Gurley as a flex?
Kupp and PPR.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is Robert Woods a must start at this point? 80 or more receiving yards in 4 of his last 5?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think easier in PPR, obviously, you know, based on the lack of touchdowns. But it's hard to get away from it, like DJ Moore leading into the 2 touchdown game. You know, there's just so many targets there. There's the floor is pretty good. You know, you're talking 8 or 9 points in non-PPR, and then just hopefully this is going to be the week that he finds the end zone.
What makes it really hard for me about saying receivers are must starts when they're ranked in the teens is that, like, DeVante Parker and DJ Moore were guys that were taken so late and they're top 10 wide receivers. Like, if you have those guys, then no, he's not a must start.
Sure. Right. There has not been.
And the percentage, the percentages bear it out. What would you say, just while DeVante Parker start percentages?
It's like 55% or something.
No, it's much higher than
90.
That. Yeah, 83. I think it's 80,
'80s. But for his production, it should be 105. You know what I mean? That's just what he's been doing.
Okay, give me the Tyler Higbee scenarios here with and without Gerald Everett.
Well, you go back to the first meeting, Gerald Everett beat them up. You know, so it's a situation where this, I think, is what's hurt Brandon Cooks. It's what's hurt Cooper Kupp over the last month. You know, they've started using their tight ends really starting around that time when these first 2 teams met. But I mean, I think Higbee, you've seen the, you know, just natural growth with Everett's wrist injury, then the knee injury, and then with Everett not being there last week. And again, it was the free space against the Cardinals. But in a game where I think it's going to be high scoring, I think they're going to have to throw. And Jared Goff has leaned on his tight ends enough to say he's in that top 12 conversation. Just to give you an example, I would start Tyler Higbee over Mark Andrews. I like the setup better for Higbee than I do for Andrews this week.
That's scary.
Yeah, but I get where you're coming from on that.
Targets have been better.
Yep. No, that's true.
Well, for how many weeks has it been better?
Last 2 for Higbee.
Okay.
Right. With
Higbee
Everett
is
injury.
My favorite streamer.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like of all, but if we get Hooper back and we get Ingram back, we've got 10 tight ends that we actually like.
Dustin,
9.
Nine for you.
How much would you like Evan Ingram? I mean, you've got a crowded receiving core, and you've got Eli Manning.
You forget what he just said? Phil Simms is coming back.
Oh,
he's
right.
He's got Eli Manning. Check down Manning. who is going to hold the ball for 2 seconds and dump it to Barkley or Ingram, he would be a top 10 tight end.
It will be interesting to see for the Hooper and the Ingram owners who they picked up in place of those guys. Because, again, Higbee playing very well, and I don't think it's a tough matchup. Gesicki.
No, it's a great matchup for Higbee.
It's not a tough matchup.
They give up the fourth most fantasy points to tight ends. They're terrible against tight ends. Seattle.
Gesicki in a what I think still a favorable matchup without Jamal Adams there and what he's done. And, you know, it's funny, like, you look, there's two scenarios. One is in tonight's game with Anthony Miller. Since Trey Burton went on IR, Anthony Miller's numbers have just skyrocketed. And since Preston Williams went down, Gesicki's numbers have skyrocketed. Yep. You know, so that's the dilemma that I think a lot of people are going to have is who's, and Kyle Rudolph too. You know, people that picked up Rudolph, if Thielen's out, same thing. So I will probably not put Hooper and Ingram in the same spots where they were. It sounds like you are.
No, because I had Hooper like as a top three tight end and Ingram as a top five but or six. They'll be in the top 10 for me.
I don't know if that, like, they'll be probably 10 through 14 for me because I do like the setups for Higbee and Gesicki this week. And I think that they will play well in consecutive games.
Okay, so back to this game here. The Rams, we've pretty much covered. Now the Seahawks. Talked about Russell Wilson. Talked about Chris Carson. Rashad Penny's a flex. We can compare him to some other guys. But how about Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf? What do you think this week for these guys? How would you compare them to the Rams receivers?
I'm ranking Metcalf as the number one receiver for the Seahawks because he's been the number one receiver for the last month for the Seahawks. So I don't feel comfortable with having Tyler Lockett outside of my top 25 wide receivers. I've got him right around 30. I think he's a fine flex. And I understand if you see Tyler Lockett's upside and just can't bench him.
Yep.
That, there's nothing wrong with that.
Adam, can you rewind to the players you hate?
Lockett?
You want to put Lockett there?
No, Metcalf.
Oh, really?
I think Metcalf's getting Ramsey. It's the typical receiver that he takes away. He did it with Allen Robinson a couple weeks ago. I think it's going to be one of those situations where they put him on Metcalf because, like you said, he's been their number one guy. He's been leading them in targets. Lockett will eat him up if they give him the targets that he needs, because this is the type of receiver that Ramsey struggles with when he does follow somebody.
For sure.
So I think if they keep Lockett in the slot, this is a game where he can surprise you. Now, there's no semblance of data to suggest that over the last 3 weeks because his targets have been down, his production has been down. So I get it if you want to bench him. But I just feel like if Russell Wilson's going to have to throw and be successful in this game, leaning on his receivers, I would take Lockett over DK Metcalf. I think this is a Lockett and Hollister game. I don't think that they're going to go at Ramsey if Ramsey follows Metcalf.
And that's the key. That it's another one of those things that we just don't know because they've played a lot of zone last couple of weeks. And
well, they played
not followed at all.
They played two running quarterbacks. And you have to play zone against running quarterbacks. So Lamar Jackson, they don't have a receiver that you have to worry about from Ramsey's perspective. And I don't think the same thing with the Cardinals guys, too.
But
so
Russell Wilson,
but he doesn't run like those guys.
He will if it's a competitive game. He always does. Yeah, but the game's really.
I think if you play
not to
defense
the same
and
degree,
turn your back.
But again,
but they're not going to do that against these guys.
But again, those two teams don't have a receiver like Metcalf, who's a big physical guy.
That part's true. Yes,
and I think that's where you could just say, if you're Wade Phillips, take him away, make Russell use the other guys, and let's see if they beat us that way.
And that's what they try to do, is that they've used the other guys, and not that you're going to lean on the David Moores and Malik Turners of the world.
But this has been a problem for Lockett. Yeah.
And they've been a problem
and
for
Hollister.
Lockett.
Hollister's
sure, as a short area target, for sure. I think if we believe that Russell Wilson's going to be a good quarterback, and if we believe that the Rams are going to put up points, then you've got to believe Tyler Lockett's got a chance, provided that he doesn't have the flu, and he doesn't want to just lay in bed, like he said
the
after
other
the
thing,
game last week.
And I haven't watched a whole lot of him closely because he hasn't had the ball thrown to him very much the last few weeks. And I haven't looked for ISO film of Tyler Lockett running routes, but it's also kind of coincided with that big injury that he had where he was in the hospital and then
100%.
All of a sudden he was okay.
100%.
So I don't know if we know if Tyler Lockett's
They had a deep target to him. He looked like he was running fine. Russell, just, you know, one of the rare times where he doesn't throw a pretty deep ball, but I don't think it's going to be the Tampa Bay game. What do you have, 14 catches in that game? Or 14
no chance.
Game? But I do think this could be a 3-for-60 in a touchdown game where he has one of the big splash plays because of the matchups that are set up for him comparatively to Metcalf.
Jacob Hollister or Tyler Higbee if Everett's out?
Higbee.
And Gesicki.
All right, they're ranked fairly similarly, though, like around 12th. So Hollister's 48%
owned. I've got
him back-to-back, yeah. You can use him. And the Rams DST probably want to avoid. Yeah, I probably want to avoid the DSTs in this game. We got to take a quick break here. Denver at Houston when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, Denver at Houston. So is this a tough matchup for the Texans here, or are we cool with them?
No, cool with them.
Yep.
I actually like Carlos Hyde a lot this week.
A lot?
Mm-hmm. Non-PPR more than 20? He is 20 for me in non-PPR, yeah.
Wow.
Because Wolf's out?
Because Wolf's out, and because they're a 7-point favorite at home. I think it's going to be a game where they got the ball a lot. He's going to have 15-plus carries. His track record with 15-plus carries in non-PPR has been pretty good. So I like the setup for him to, I think this is going to be a 60 to 80 yard game on the ground, and I do think he scores.
Interesting. Yeah, he usually gets a pretty good workload in their wins. I kind of like Will Fuller because there have been five wide receivers with 9 or more targets against the Broncos, and all of them are number 2 receivers. So, you know, you just...
How many of them have like 3 or fewer targets?
What do you mean?
Well, we just don't know how many targets Will Fuller is going to get.
That's true.
It's
but
just
I
such
think
a grab bag with him.
The trend is they don't throw at Chris Harris. So,
you don't like DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't know. You guys seem to like him just fine. I mean, I think there's reason to be concerned about Hopkins.
I think you're right. Since the trade deadline, though, Chris Harris, he's playing hard. He's doing everything the right way. But he's given up a little bit more production than he did earlier in the season.
Seemingly one bad beat every week.
One big play. He let Keenan Allen go. Where, you know, if you watch the game, it was a little hard to tell. Was he expecting help? Were they, you know, it looked like they were in zone initially. Allen crossed the field. Harris apparently was supposed to follow him. He didn't. Allen had an easy touchdown. The play to John Brown.
Right.
Locked him down the entire game.
Right.
He had the 34-yard touchdown.
Him. Right.
This guy's a different animal because they're not going to shy away from him, as we saw with Gilmore last week. They'll still throw at Hopkins. He may not get 12-plus targets. And Heath, you alluded to this last week when Will Fuller's played, his targets have been down.
Right.
But you're still starting DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, this isn't one of those situations where you shy away.
I've got him ranked top 10. I will voice one other concern about him is that he's not gone deep really this year very much. His average depth of target is down like 20% from where it was last year. And that's been the way to beat Chris Harris so far this year. So hopefully they change that up and send him deep a little bit. Because I could see this being a Will Fuller game where they just say, you know what? You don't have anybody else that can cover Will Fuller.
He's one of the best DFS plays you'll find because nobody's going to look at him, his numbers, and say, oh, I got to play him because he's been playing well. But when you look deeper, like you said, Adam, the number 2 receivers against this team have been very successful.
So, Dave, I've got 2 flex spots. And on my bench here, I've got Will Fuller, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, and Rashad Penny. Which 2 do I play? And let's go half PPR.
I'm going to sit the Texans running backs, both of them, and go with Penny and Fuller. And I like Fuller as a flex. You know what the upside is. You know what the downside is. If he's a flex for you, I think it's worth a chance, especially against Denver. Hopefully he gets those opportunities. But the workload splits the last 3 weeks for the Texans running backs have not been in Carlos Hyde's favor at all.
Well, look who they played, though.
Well, look who they played. It's been close games, though. And you're talking about a blowout one. I don't know if it's going to be or not. And even if it is, the Texans were winning last week. They've won each of the last 2 weeks. And they were back and forth games. And Carlos Hyde didn't have a ton of work in either.
That was against, which is why I'm concerned about McCoy, a great run defense of the Patriots. And then
the Patriots
three games
a great
ago,
run defense? We used to think that was their vulnerability.
They ranked top 5. They ranked top 5. They're a good.
They're a very good run defense.
They've allowed almost 5 yards per carry the last 5 weeks, though.
And then you look at 2 games before that, it was against Baltimore.
So, they rank top 5 in fantasy points allowed.
Yeah.
Because Adam's YPC for life. Mm-hmm. So they don't rank top 5.
Well, this used to be, the Patriots used to be a team where we could
no,
say.
No. I think just like overall in the year, just regular NFL stats, I think they're up there.
Well,
I don't know. I think they're going to win this game. I think they're going to win the game rather easily. It's funny that you think it's going to be a close game because you don't like Lindsey. You either must love Drew Lock.
I think it's just going to be a little bit of a low-scoring game where the Texans have a bit of a letdown after last
week. I'm just holding on to hope that the Texans realize Duke Johnson is better than Carlos Hyde. And
that's what we've been seeing.
Not in carries, though.
Not in carries, but in playing time.
If you need Hyde to score. I'd start Fuller and Duke.
Okay, in that scenario. Now, how do you feel about Courtland Sutton this week? Man, 5 targets last week. I know he caught 2 touchdowns, but yeah, I'm a little nervous. Always nervous
he's
about
Courtland
Sutton.
He's playing so well. Like, even without huge volume, he's been making some great plays. Tough catches.
I've got it Fuller, Chark, Sutton, back to back to back at the end of my number 2 wide receivers. And so you're probably starting him.
Okay. Would you start Rashad Penny or Courtland Sutton?
Sutton.
Chris Carson or Courtland Sutton?
Carson.
Philip Lindsay or Courtland Sutton?
Sutton.
Lindsay for me.
Do you like a tight end in this game?
No.
Deshaun Watson is a top 2 quarterback, I think, for everyone. Start Deshaun Watson. The Dolphins are at the Jets. Ooh, Ryan Fitzpatrick, man, against a depleted Jets secondary. Well, first of all, which quarterback do you like better in this game?
Fitzpatrick.
I'm a noted Sam Darnold supporter and fan, so I will say Sam Darnold over Fitzpatrick.
I'm going Darnold, too. I'm going right back to him.
Are you ranking him as a star? Like, where are these guys in your rankings?
Yes. I've got him 10th.
Woo. No, I don't have either quarterback in this game in the top 15, but I think I've got him 15 and 17 or something, so they're very close.
I've got Fitzpatrick 13 and Darnold, I think, 16 or 17. Right. But I like both. I think both have a chance to play well. I just think there's a higher ceiling for Fitzpatrick, who had a higher ceiling against them the first time they met, even if you give Ryan Griffin the touchdown.
Sure.
The famed Ryan Griffin touchdown.
The mysterious. Well, it should have been a touchdown. Honestly.
Yeah, totally. If they finish as the top 2 quarterbacks in fantasy this week, I don't think any of us would be all that surprised. You know, it'd be surprising, but they have massive.
I would be pretty surprised.
I'm really in a tough decision between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Ryan this week.
Oh well, I don't know how you sit Ryan with all his weapons. You know,
if he's got everybody healthy, and
how do I sit Ryan with all his weapons? Fitzpatrick's been better than him for the last 5 weeks.
Right, he hasn't had all of his weapons.
Fitzpatrick last year with the Bucks threw for 400 yards in each of his first 3 games, and then he got benched because he was so bad in his 4th game. And basically, the same thing happened later in the season. He replaced Winston. He played well. He comes back, gets benched again. So we just, you know what Fitzpatrick is. He's got so much downside, but he is.
But it's hard to believe that this is going to be the game that does him in and puts him on the bench. Neither of these teams can rush the quarterback. Neither of these teams have a good secondary.
Both
of these quarterbacks potentially could throw for 3 touchdowns.
Is Le'Veon Bell just an automatic start still?
Yep.
Especially in PPR.
Patrick Laird better than like a DJ Chark in PPR?
No.
That's a little...
No, but I would start Patrick Laird in PPR over LeSean McCoy.
I would too.
I would not.
Okay, Devontae Parker's a must start. Which Jets wide receiver do you like?
I think they're both number 3 guys, but I'd take Anderson over Crowder just based on the last 3 weeks.
I have no idea.
I don't have any idea either, which is why they're way outside of my top 20.
I bet one of them's really good.
I think Crowder.
Well, you better think one of them is going
to
be great.
I think Crowder is the one you go back to. I think
if
Robbie
you like Darnold that high,
touchdown.
Then who's?
I think. Listen, it's about risk tolerance with these receivers.
I can't feel confident going to start
Jameson Crowder. Sure. It's a top 12
same thing
guy.
I said about Brady. There's going to be somebody that steps up.
Right.
If
exactly.
You, if you had to,
but I think Crowder's the one that's got the best chance of stepping up, at least in PPR, because they've gotten away from him the past couple of weeks. It just makes sense that if they want to try and win a game, maybe they just try and be a little bit more conservative on offense instead of trying to chuck it downfield and have Robbie Anderson drop touchdown passes.
Okay. So
I know Robbie's been great. 100 yards or a touchdown each of his past 3. But I think Crowder bounces back and Robbie will get his opportunities. They could both be good.
They could be. Yeah, they could be. Which tight end do you like better, Mike Gesicki or Ryan Griffin?
Gesicki.
I would go Gesicki because he's basically the number 2 receiver for the Dolphins.
Now, the Jets allow the...
Griffin's banged up a little bit, too.
Third fewest fantasy points to tight ends, but really, it's more about competition. Gesicki himself had 95 yards the first time he faced the Jets. And Griffin had a good game. He had that touchdown call back, but he had a good game. There have been five tight ends with 6 to 7 targets against the Jets. They've had 41, 51, 57, 57, and 95 yards. And that's typically what Gesicki's getting, 6 to 7 targets.
And Jamal Adams missing helps, but really it's the linebackers who cover tight ends for New York, and they're not good at covering tight ends.
All right. Sit the DSTs in this game. Anything we missed there? I think we're good, right? Cool. We're good. Tennessee at Oakland. This also has like a Dolphins Jetsy feeling to me. I don't know. Could be some nice streamers in this game. Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sam Darnold. I think we're gonna have some different answers here, but how do you rank Tannehill, Fitzpatrick, and Darnold?
Fitzpatrick, Darnold, Tannehill.
Darnold, Fitzpatrick, Tannehill.
Minshew, Tannehill, Darnold, Fitzpatrick.
Okay. I would say this, that the safest floor is Tannehill of that group.
Yes. Maybe, and Minshew.
What? No. Tannehill has the safest floor.
Well, Tannehill has a pass attempt problem where he has 19, 18, and 22 in his last three games. So he's got a great matchup.
He also runs the most of that group, though.
Oakland gives up the fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. It's a great matchup. You just have to be a little concerned about the pass attempts. So we talked a lot about the streamers, but who are the mid-range quarterbacks? Like Drew Brees. Would you start Tannehill or Drew Brees?
I still start Brees, but I can certainly see if you want to go Tannehill.
I've got Brees two spots higher. I've got him a little higher than Tannehill.
I would start literally all of the streamers we've talked about over Drew Brees.
Brees was okay last week. He just had passes dropped.
Yes, he was. That's the thing.
I'm not saying
he was really good.
But it is a tough match.
You've got to be a superstar or a running quarterback.
He really should have had a good game against a bad defense. And now he's got a really tough defense coming into his building.
With his offensive line banged up.
Armstead might play.
He's not his guard, though, and Armstead banged up.
Yeah. He's not going to play.
Right. So.
Drink.
Andrew's Pete Prisco. Start Derrick Henry, I'm going to say. Start Josh Jacobs. Any hesitation with Jacobs with the shoulder fracture?
No. I mean, it's just the fact that he said that that's what the problem is.
Yeah. Right. He's been playing with it. Mm. Okay. And then how about
Adam, can I do a Heath Cummings impersonation?
Sure.
Oh, please. Please do.
Tyrell Williams is going to score this week. He's a good flex play. Tyrell.
It's probably true because I dropped Tyrell Williams in like six leagues.
That's not the reason why I'm saying it, but
I'm not calling Tyrell this week. I dropped him for Anthony Miller. I dropped him for Zach Pascal.
I would do that too.
And I'm starting both.
The top three outside cornerbacks for Tennessee.
Yeah,
exactly. I'll use him in FanDuel. The top three outside cornerbacks for Tennessee are all hurt. So wow. I think Carr and company.
Derek Carr throw it more than 15 yards?
I think they try to.
This is kind of a back against the wall game for the Raiders.
It is.
They're still in the playoff hunt.
It is.
And they're at home.
But they're also facing a team in a similar spot.
Right.
So who's the best wide receiver in this game? A.J. Brown with a good matchup, and he's due for a good game because he goes good, bad, good, bad, good,
Brown.
Bad.
Yep. A.J. Brown. Yep.
Over Tyrell.
I'd go Tyrell over A.J. Brown.
All right, cool. Darren Waller, good matchup. Must start. We like him.
Yep.
Start him.
Best with Hunter Renfrow not being there.
Okay, great. Tennessee's DST is in play. They're 7th for Jamie, 8th for Dave, 18th for Heath. And they are the number 8 DST this season. And they almost always are
18th?
Number 8.
18th.
They're 18th for Heath. I'm sorry. They're 8th overall this season. My apologies. Right. They're pretty solid almost every week. If you're desperate for a DST, you can look at the Titans. Cincinnati is at Cleveland. So we talked about Baker Mayfield. Jamie and Dave. Dave, where do you? I know Jamie likes him a lot, and Heath doesn't like Baker Mayfield. Although he likes him, he just likes a lot of quarterbacks better than Mayfield. Where are you on Mayfield, Dave?
It's Cincinnati. He takes advantage of good matchups. Baker Mayfield is top 12.
How about Andy Dalton? Heath?
No.
Okay, good, because we have to make a decision in our league. Dalton versus Mayfield. Can we go Mayfield?
Yeah, we're going Mayfield. Did you know last week, I believe I actually benched Mayfield for Dalton on Sunday morning?
Yes, I know.
Smart.
And you didn't
tell you.
You won us the week. Yeah, but I saw it. Yep. I let it go. By the way, 7 of the last 9 quarterbacks to face the Browns have scored 19 or more fantasy points. The only exceptions are 2 Pittsburgh quarterbacks. So
yeah, the Browns and Bengals have basically been the same matchup this year. They're like 7th and 9th in fantasy points allowed to quarterback.
Interesting.
And Andy Dalton's been better than Baker Mayfield this year.
How do you, but I'm still going with Mayfield. How do you feel about Joe Mixon this week? He's getting a lot of work and he's been pretty solid against it. So how do you feel about him against the Browns?
Start him.
I'm fine with him as a number two running back.
Yeah. He's in that meh starter range.
Okay. Run defense seems to be getting better. So would you go with Joe Mixon? Let's get some wide receivers. Joe Mixon or Devontae Parker?
Parker.
Parker by a mile.
Joe Mixon or Allen Robinson?
Robinson by 3/4 of a mile.
Robinson.
Mixon or Will Fuller?
Mixon.
Yep, I would go with Mixon.
Mixon and non-Fuller and PPR.
I'll tell you what, I would go with Fuller if I was loaded at running back. So I've got two really good running backs, and I just need somebody with some crazy upside.
Tyler Boyd, start or sit in non-PPR?
By number three.
No, in number two.
Yeah, I've got him as a number two and non.
Would you go with Tyler Boyd? Or you know, I don't really, I'm getting nervous about Calvin Ridley. Would you go with Calvin Ridley or Tyler Boyd this week? Dave, I see you have them back to back. That's why, kind of why.
I'd go Ridley.
Ridley.
Ridley and non-PPR.
I got Ridley too.
Okay. Just, you know, all the weapons coming back. All right. Beckham and Landry. So Landry, everybody's starting. He's been great. And Beckham, come on. When he's had good matchups, he's been really good. So start Beckham. Yep. I guess the question mark is Kareem Hunt and how you feel about him this week.
He's a must start in PPR. In four games that he's played, he's been top 24 or better. Non-PPR, it's a little closer, but I think he's at least a flex.
Do we have a David Njoku update?
He's alive.
I would guess he's practicing and still on injured reserve and may come back, but won't have an impact.
All right, we did not get to as many games as I wanted to today. That's all right. We have another show tomorrow. We'll get to the games.
No John
earlier.
Ross discussion?
No John Ross discussion. Let me do a little bit more Kareem Hunt, though, to finish the show. Kareem Hunt or Tyler Boyd?
Boyd.
Hunt.
They're both similar, and their better format is PPR than non-PPR. But I think, you know, if that's the case, I'll take Boyd.
Kareem Hunt or Deebo Samuel?
Hunt.
I feel better about Hunt than Samuel.
DK Metcalf?
Hunt.
I'll go Metcalf.
All right, look, last week... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going to say Metcalf.
Last week, I know I gave the stat about running backs who get 15 or more carries against the Bengals. Le'Veon Bell did not get 15 carries. Nick Chubb most certainly will. He will probably get 20 carries. He is going to have 150 yards and 4 touchdowns in this game. Nick Chubb, DFS, FanDueling Nick Chubb. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Much appreciated. We got another show tomorrow with the rest of the games, and we'll recap Thursday night. For Dave, for Jamie, for Heath, I'm Adam saying na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.